Well, while you're standing, let me read one scripture, and then we're going to talk about honor, a very familiar scripture. It was the first commandment with a blessing and a promise of a blessing. We're going to talk about honor today for a few moments, and this one all of the moms and dads are going to love, because it says, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God commanded you. Lots of amens, right? Lots of amens. Then you will live a long, full life in the land your Lord is giving you. Let's pray. Father, as we think about honor today, we want to look at it from heaven's perspective and not just from our earthly perspective. Holy Spirit, would you help us to understand God's purposes in honor and in our lives? We pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said together, amen. 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 You may be seated. As we think about honor, I read the story recently about a greeter at Walmart, one of those guys that has the smiley pin on, or it could be a lady, but they are supposed to be wearing smiles too. And there was this greeter at Walmart that was continuously coming in late, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes late. And the manager liked him. He was friendly. He did his job. But the manager finally said to him, he said, is there anything we can do to help you get here on time? We really need you to be here on time. And the man kind of smiled and said, I'll try better. And then the manager remembered that this gentleman had served in the military. And he said, you know, sir, when you served in the military, what did they say when you came in late? He said, they all stood at attention, they saluted, and they said, Admiral, when would you like your coffee? It's kind of a matter of perspective, isn't it, of those who we honor, when and where and how we honor them. And God says to the children of Israel, he says to sons and daughters, that if you'll honor parents, there's a blessing for you. There is something about honor. As we look at the Ten Commandments, the first four are about honoring God, aren't they? About honoring him and only serving him and honoring his word, honoring the Sabbath, having no other gods. And then it's about honoring one another, honoring parents, honoring our neighbors. That love that spread, that goes both ways. You know, as I think about raising your children, for those of you that are parents and have young children that are still impressionable, that maybe still listen to you, maybe they haven't reached teenage years yet, let me give you three things that will help them be people of honor. Three statements they can make. The first is this: please. Everybody say that with me. Please. Sometimes a forgotten word in our American English vocabulary. The second one is thank you. Everybody say that. Thank you. It's nice to be able to say thank you and to hear some appreciation. The third thing is you're welcome. Say that with me. You're welcome. Please, thank you, you're welcome. Or you might do the Chick-fil-A thing and say, my pleasure. Honoring one another has been kind of lost in our culture. I read somewhere that they say a married man opens the car door for his wife on two occasions. One, he gets a new car. Second, he gets a new wife. Husbands, show honor to your wives and let your children see that on display so you can teach them to be people of honor. The scripture says, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God commanded you, and then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You know, I often hear people quote, if you honor your parents, you're going to live a long time. And not everyone who honors their parents kind of lives that long time. We try to figure that out. But the scripture says you'll live a full life in the land that God is giving you. When you look at scripture, there are three kind of levels when you look at scripture. You look at this passage and you say, this was expressly for the children of Israel as they were leaving Egypt. Now, unfortunately, anyone who was older than 20 years of age when they left Egypt never made it into the promised land because of unbelief, because they didn't follow commandments like this. They never made it to God's promise, a full life in the land that he had promised. So you look at it that way historically. Second way you look at it is you look at it and say, well, what does that mean for all of us? Does that promise still hold true for us that God honors his word and that he honors those who honor their parents? And I would say, yes, he does. He honors children who honor their parents. That is still a promise of God. And then the third lens that you look at it through is, well, what does that mean for me? Sometimes that's difficult. Sometimes many of you have maybe grown up in a home where maybe it was really hard to honor someone because of their actions or because they abandoned you. And that doesn't mean that there's full respect. It doesn't mean that there's full trust, but it means they're still your mother, still your father, and somehow you have to find a way to honor them. I have a good friend in ministry who did a DNA test and just recently found out that her DNA father, who she had never met in her life, was on his deathbed in West Virginia, and she lives in Florida. And what did she do? She took a flight and went up to see her DNA dad that she had never met in her life. But it was still her father, still a way to honor someone who had abandoned her at an early age. And that's what God calls us to. He calls us to be people of honor. As I think about what happened Friday, and I know most of you here are going to say, Pastor, what'd you think about what happened Friday? What happened when Roe versus Wade was overturned, or when the new legislation came out? And on one hand, you know, I am so thankful that abortion is not a constitutional right. Murder is no longer a constitutional right in our country. I'm so thankful for people who've prayed, people who have been there for people in crisis in their pregnancies. So thankful for that. But I was also very saddened to know that, like states like Maryland, it's not going to affect us at all. In fact, there may be more abortions that take place in Maryland because people will come to this state unless things change, unless the church really is the church. It makes me sad to read on social media people who say they're followers of Christ say that they are pro-abortion and say, just unfriend me if you are pro-life. God, I cannot find anywhere, Old Testament, New Testament, any justification for murdering a child in the womb. It is just not there. And you'll never hear me. I'm not going to get up here and argue with you philosophically or argue with you social engineering or any economic engineering about all of this. All I can say is the choir sang about it. This is the truth, and it's still marching on. And if we want to walk in his blessing, we have to walk according to his truth. And so my heart's broken for people who say they're followers of Jesus, but yet looking for convenient ways in and out of things. Unfortunately, because the church hasn't been as potent as it should be in America today, we celebrate sin. We celebrate immorality. We celebrate all these things that go against God's word. Now I say we, hopefully not us as a church, we don't celebrate those. But we have a culture that celebrates the hedonism. Celebrates, well, just send your kids to college, let them go to the fraternities, let them get drunk, let them get all that out of their system. And then we expect them to be great citizens. We expect them to uphold the law. You know, just a little bit of a sidetrack, you know, it was tragic. These school killings are tragic, aren't they? But, you know, I was reading there's 10,000 people that are killed by drunk drivers every year in America, and 230 of them are children. Where's the outrage for the drunkenness that we allow in our land, for the drugs, for all of those things? None of that honors God. And his children doing it, none of it honors parents. God calls us to be people of honor, and people who honor his word. When we think about, well, when does life happen? Is it a heartbeat? Is it a breath? When is it? This is how Jeremiah puts it in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. He said that God knew him before he was even born. Let me read it for you verbatim. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. You know, another thing that's really sad to me, that a group of people who came through the Holocaust and had ancestors annihilated through genocide rank about 70-80% are pro-abortion. A group that came through slavery and saw ancestors killed and in slavery, overwhelmingly pro-abortion. How has that happened? How can people who call on Yahweh, people who call on the God who to free them, like the Israelites freed from Egypt, folks, we can't be those people. We've got to be people of the book, people who know that God has a plan for everyone, every fetus in a womb. God has a plan for them. And it's not for us to social engineer it and to try to say, we know better, we're going to help this, we're going to, no, we're not. Trust God. Trust God. Trust His Word. Trust His plan. Jesus said, tagging on to this wonderful life that is promised for those who honor their parents in the promised land, Jesus said, John 10:10, I have come to give you life, and that life more abundantly. That's what Jesus has planned for everyone who is born onto this planet. And the reason that people are hurting and in so much pain is because people aren't following Jesus. People aren't serving God. It becomes a Christian in some ethics, Christian in some principle, or Judeo-Christianity, but not fully biblical. This is what we believe, and we're going to hold fast to that. I believe that there is a heaven for me to gain. We sang about it, and I'm looking forward to it. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we will only have begun at that point. We will be in the glory of God forever and ever. But I also believe there is a hell. There is a place of darkness with eternal separation from God. And we need to hold on to those things, and we need to be honest with our friends and our family who ask about it, who maybe are not followers of Jesus. Doesn't mean that we're mean-spirited. It just means that we're brokenhearted because people are turning away from God and saying no. They're rejecting Him. They're not understanding who He is. I enjoy watching, maybe some of you have also enjoyed watching some of the videos of professional musicians who are busking. You heard that term, busking? That's people who are playing instruments and asking for people to give them money. And you see, I think it's Jimmy Kimmel in the subway in New York City, and he has U2 with him, and he has other, and they put on beards, and they dress in ways that they're not known, and they're singing their songs, and people are just kind of walking by, and that sounds familiar, that sounds good. And then finally, the beard comes off, or the hats, and people realize it's Bono. I read about a young lady who was a violinist, a virtuoso violinist. I mean, people pay hundreds of dollars to hear her. She was in the New York subway, and she put a can out. I think she got $35, and people were paying over $100 a seat just to hear her. But they didn't recognize who they are, and then they do. What happens immediately? The cell phones come out, and people are calling, look, you can't believe it, I'm down here, and so-and-so's singing, and all this great stuff. The Bible tells us that He came to His own, and His own did not recognize Him. Amen. Isaiah prophesied that He would be despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, and we wouldn't even know Him. We wouldn't show Him any honor. But yet, on that last day, He's seated right now at the right hand of the Father, the seat of honor. And for those of us who honor our parents, for those of us who follow His Word, one day we will honor Him. He will honor us. He will bring us to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And forever and ever, we will celebrate with Him. But until that day, the church has to be the church. The church has to lead in honor. The church has to show the neighbors what family really looks like, how sons and daughters honor their parents, how parents honor one another, how we honor our city, just as we did this week with over 100 people going down and just helping to say, we want to make this a better place for you. When you do that, you begin to open the door of dialogue so you can tell people about Jesus Christ. The truth is, Jesus loves you. He came to this earth, born in a manger, and he was born of in this town of what's going to happen with this kid he's also born during a time when the Roman leader wanted to kill every male child, right? 3 and under. He had to go to Egypt because there was another genocide that was taking place, but God spared him. And aren't you thankful that Mary this probably 14-year-old girl who conceived a child out of wedlock didn't choose abortion. It was God's will that he would be born that way, so that he would be pure and he would be sinless, and the blood that would flow through him would be the sinless blood, all part of God's plan. So today, I mourn for America still. I'm so glad for places where the probability of the unborn being murdered will be reduced. But you know, politics is not the answer. The church is the answer. You and I are the answer. The people of God, the people who are saying, I'll serve as a foster care parent. I'll adopt a child. We'll be there to help you through this. That's the mercy of God. That's honoring one another. And that's what God calls us to. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ and not really sure what I'm talking about today, Jesus came and he died on the cross for your sins. You could never pay the price for your sins. You could never overcome all of your mistakes. No one can go back and correct every mistake we've made in our life. No one can go back and say, I'm sorry to everyone we've hurt. We've hurt people we don't even know we've hurt. That's impossible. But Jesus makes it possible to forgive our sins. He says that his blood washes away all of our sin. And so all it is asking Jesus, I admit I need help. I need forgiveness. If you admit that, Jesus will forgive all your sins. But you have to believe that he's the Son of God and that he came to take your sins away on the cross, and that he was resurrected on that third day, and that he lives forever and ever. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus is that Savior. And then you have to take his word and begin living it out. You have to be discipled. It's not just saying a prayer today and saying, okay, I'm good for eternity and I can go live like I want. No, you've got to live like Jesus wants you to live. See, one of the things we're facing in America today is people all just want it their way. We're all obsessed with ourselves and what we want. God didn't die, and this is part of the Constitution that I totally disagree with, so that you can live a happy life. He died so that you can live a life that pleases him and honors him. And there you'll find joy. You'll find something much deeper than happiness. And that kind of joy, that's what God wants to give you today. Would you bow your heads with me? And maybe you're watching online streaming right there in your family room, wherever you are today. God has a plan. God has forgiveness for whatever you've done. And God has a bright future for you. Father, as we come today thinking about honor, we're so thankful for people who have given their lives so that we can have freedom on this earth. But we are even immensely more thankful that you allowed your Son, Jesus Christ, to come so that we can have spiritual, eternal freedom from our sins. No one can take that away from us. As believers, we can live in communist countries, we can live in oppressed countries, but as followers of Jesus Christ, there's no oppression in our spirit, because who the Son sets free, again, is free indeed. And so we come to you and we admit our brokenness and that we need forgiveness. Even as believers and followers, sin continually crops up in our life and we continually need to ask forgiveness, so we ask that again today. And today we affirm our belief that Jesus Christ is the one and only Son of God who came to this earth to give his life as a sacrifice and to be resurrected, to let us know that we have eternal life. So today, Father, we choose to follow you. We make a choice today to say, Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, you are the leader of my life. Please forgive us. Please help us walk in a way that honors you. And Lord, I pause and I pray for our country. Lord, I'm especially brokenhearted men and women who are in governmental positions of authority, who say that they follow your Son, Jesus Christ, but yet in their voting and their words and their actions, you would not know it, how your heart must be broken. Father, I pray that conviction would come to the capital today, that there would be a revival. Lord, we don't pray for their demise. We pray for them to come to their senses. Lord, we pray for them to return to your word and to your principles. There is not one man, one woman that's serving in any political realm that has the answer that Jesus has and can bring the hope that only Jesus can bring. So, Lord, we pray somehow increase our faith that it can happen. Somehow, before you return, may there be revival, may there be renewal that comes in our state and in our country. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you.